What's up, listeners, and thank you for joining us, and welcome to episode 2 of Trainwreck Gaming. I'm your host, Adam Williams, and with me today is Josh the Markwind.
You look like a really dodgy DJ, the way you're holding your headphones to your head like that.
What's up, listeners? Holy Blackbird.
Okay, and after that rude interruption, Mark Harvey.
Hi.
And Jack Pope.
Hello.
And a special guest, Ben Shuriger.
Hi.
Okay, I'm going to defend this actually. Okay, so how's everyone doing this week?
Goodly.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Can't complain.
Can't complain. Right, so what's everyone been up to this week?
Not a lot. I found my Game Gear and my Game Boy Color, so I've had like a proper old school.
And what have you been playing?
Wonder Boy on the Game Gear.
Yeah.
Which is so much fun. And I was played a bit of Pokemon.
You're playing those Pokemons.
A bit of Pokemon Red. And then I was playing Pokemon
Pikachu.
Black.
What did you choose as your starter in Black?
Chimchar.
Chimchar?
Chimchar's
Platinum.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's Platinum.
Is it Platinum? I've been playing Platinum then.
Anything beyond Silver, you're confusing the fuck.
Yeah, like Red and Blue's where it ended for me.
Like, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Platinum then, that's the one I've been playing. Good start. Good start to the awkward second album.
professional gamers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What have you been doing, Mark?
I've been playing Red Faction Armageddon, which I had in my shelf.
Ben has also been playing as well.
I have actually.
It's very, very good. I completed it today.
What was your verdict then after completing that?
It's a very fun game. It's a very repetitive game, but it kind of rewards you with things like just get into this giant robot and destroy everything for like half an hour and then go back to the repetitiveness. But it's still very, very fun. Some of the weapons are fun to use.
Nice.
I give it a, I don't know, 6, maybe a 7.
Yeah. Ooh, what about on 20-point scale?
On 20-point scale?
Oh! So that'd be like maybe a 7.5 or a 6.5?
Yeah, maybe a 7.
Maybe a double what he just said.
Double?
Consider it a 10 scale.
Jack, you've been getting back into
He's
Star
here, he
Wars.
Lives.
Yes, Jack has finally joined us.
I was here last week. I was just hidden in a box in the corner. I'm just really good at this whole tactical.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, he was hidden in the cardboard box.
Yeah, you know.
Because he was sad about David Hayter.
I chose cardboard box.
He was
box
mourning in his own special way by hiding a box in the corner.
We kept looking at him and wondering if there was something in the box and then realising it was just a box and walking away.
He's the epitome of Sam Fisher, really, isn't he?
Yes. He's also, we've lost Michael Ironside as a voice for...
Let's not get into that because that'll make me rant. But this week I've been going a bit old school with my games. You all remember Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy...
Mm-hmm.
There's this mod for it called Movie Battles 2, which I was obsessed with in my teenage years. Unhealthily, I didn't have much of a social life because I was too busy playing that game. It's basically, you're playing a Star Wars game, and then you get a Star Wars mod to make your Star Wars game
more
a bit more Star Wars. And that kind of sums up, you know, just how crap a teenager I was. I was watching Skins.
My Star Wars game doesn't have enough Star Wars in it.
You say this, but like it's the perfect Star Wars game. It's all the film battles. I heard you guys on the podcast last week talking about, I wish it was a bit more like the films and the battles. That's the fucking game you want to play if you can deal with the Quake 3 engine.
Yes.
Because
it's dated.
It's everything Battlefront should have been.
Yeah. And people get too gay for Battlefront, and I think it's unjustified.
No. This game had an awesome community. I've been playing Left 4 Dead 2 as well.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which I love, because just like Movie Battles, it's a game with bugs and its imperfections.
That had a really unusual multiplayer. I never played it, but I remember...
It's the best. If you get 8 people that are really good to play with, you've got 4v4, you've got the gunners that you're playing as, which, you know, generic gunners, but at least you're killing zombies. But when you're the infected, that's really, really fun, because... You're playing as a fucking superpower kind of zombie thing. And if you get people in the right place, you can throw people off edges, kill people so they have to sit out a whole round. It's great fun.
Sick.
Especially with how buggy it is, because, you know, you can exploit it and win it, which we did. So, you know.
The only thing I remember from my only experience as a multiplayer of Left 4 Dead 2 was a lady ain't a lady when her daddy ain't around, which is what the trailer park guy shouts if you approach the mic in the concert arena.
You've got the whole options for voice chat and you can just spam so much crap. It'll annoy everyone, which, like, you know me, you know that happens. So it's good fun, yeah, so I've been doing that game wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has anyone been watching anything this week? I know you two are very Doctor Who
Oh, tomorrow's going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a third, like Ben. It's a Doctor. We have three Doctor Who people. This is disappointing.
Yes.
That's four Doctor Who.
You missed my game.
Four?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah, he's just completely
scooped.
Four. Yeah, right.
So why don't you leave? Let us host.
Yeah.
All right.
We've also just completely scooted over the fact that Ben also plays games.
Yes.
And Adam, his
skipped over
housemate.
Mostly thanks to Adam, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dick. This week I've mostly been playing.
Yes, you finished
MotorStorm Armageddon.
Yes, you finished.
Which is the most frustrating game.
You've done well because I gave up after like the fourth race in the first season.
Yeah, it's all about perseverance.
Yeah, it was free on PlayStation Plus.
Very rewarding once you get through it.
Yeah, you were doing quite well.
And the other game which I would like to mention is The Cave.
Ron
Gilbert game.
Yeah, it's a game I want to play.
Beautiful.
You were quite enamored by that game.
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful game. Like, I thought the animation that was fantastic. Had quite a lot of deep meaning in it.
Yeah,
and it takes a bit of perseverance.
And from watching you play, it had quite a lot of personality, like narration.
Yeah.
I love narration in a game. Like, you saw me playing Thomas Was Alone. That game had narration by Danny Boyce. It creates
with The Cave. Like, the narration really made that game.
Yeah,
I thought. And the Ron Gilbert animation that really helped it as well. So yeah, I thought it was very good actually, and it's worth several playthroughs. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, for really like because there's like seven characters to play through. You can introduce two at a time. It's worth playing through several times.
What are you going to be playing next out of my collection?
Out of your collection?
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, it's all about Far Cry.
Oh, Blood Dragon. I still haven't finished that yet. What's going on?
Yeah, to get
and
to that.
I've been totally gay for Persona 4.
But in all
fairness,
I need to finish Veteran Mode on MotorStorm Armageddon before.
You're going to do it?
I'm
going to
get
they look too stressful.
I've been through the other two, difficulties. So
yeah,
I've been
got
to
persevere.
Pro or whatever the other one is.
Well, it can't have anything on Call of Duty Veteran Mode, can it? Yeah, like good quality game that we
like. Established this last week. It will not be a Call of Duty discussion. did you guys want to talk about Doctor Who at all? Because I know you lot are totally like...
Deja vu.
I'm sat with a semi waiting for it.
Yeah, next. I think tomorrow could either make or break it because you find out the name of the Doctor.
I don't
and
think you do though. But they always do this where they go, oh, this is going to happen, and then all of a sudden it's like in Dexter a few seasons ago when you're like, oh, Deb finds out at a certain point when she didn't, and I think that's how it's going to be.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they address the name of Doctor Who in the years ago seasons.
Yeah.
Like
he always calls himself John Smith when he lands on planets.
Yeah,
I'd like to congratulate Josh on matching his watch to his T-shirt, by the way.
And parts of my trainer. I've got red bits on my trainers as well.
Yeah,
Josh is wearing a Muppets T-shirt.
For a podcast.
But I think his...
You've got to look your best when you're on the radio.
His name, from what I've heard, is similar sounding to, like, Superman's name. He's got that sort of kryptonite sounding
Dr. Man.
Yeah. What, like,
average woman.
Yeah. It's something that's more of like a mathematical code than it is supposedly a name.
Ah, his name's Pi.
Is that what the life of Pi is about?
Yeah, the life of the
Doctor.
It's
just a Doctor Who spin-off.
You generated to a tiger and a boat.
That little kid on the boat is just one of the Doctor's generations.
One of the more boring ones, yeah.
But no, apart from Doctor Who, I did watch the How I Met Your Mother reveal. So I know who it is.
None of us want to know.
I've not watched it, this week's one yet.
Nor have I.
Oh no, it's not on this.
Yeah, Josh has been watching the American.
I've
been watching the American ones as well. And
I haven't watched what's on E4.
So it's the ninth series and the reveals on.
They've revealed season 9.
Yeah,
but
trust me, yeah.
They put something up on IGN about the story. It's like, I'm totally ignoring it. I don't want to know. I love How I Met Your Mother. And like, I could go and watch the American season.
But I want to spoil one thing, you know.
No.
Let's spoil an old film.
No.
Let's spoil an old film.
This is not a spoiler cast. No.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we went through that last week.
Not even about Bruce Willis, all that shit. We can't even mention Bruce Willis is, you know, actually not that good a cop at the end of Die Hard. Or anything like that. No? That joke bombed really badly. I couldn't think of where to go.
Jack Pope, everyone. Good
yes.
to have you here, man.
I don't have the ends for sentences ready most of the time.
No. It's good. Conversational podcast. Okay, right. We're going to go through the news now. There's 7 stories on the list.
Seven.
There's 7, yeah.
That's more than last week.
There is a lot
seven
of EA.
For every sin.
There's a lot of EA talk. But firstly, acclaimed GameCube and PS2 role player Tales of Symphonia is to be released on the PlayStation 3, a new report suggests. The Tales of Symphonia Perfect Edition pack will also include the game's Wii-exclusive sequel, Tales of Symphonia and Dawn of the New World. Both games will feature jazzed up HD visuals. Tales boss Hideo Bubba teased the Perfect Edition to a Spanish site, Coinea, and said it would be a representation of the dreams and hopes of the fans who have long been waiting for it. I fucking love Tales from Familia.
I've never gotten to play it.
No. Yeah, there's not a lot of RPG players.
Yeah.
I play lots of
RPGs. No, you don't play. We're not getting into the conversation.
RPG?
Yes. Jack has this thing about abbreviating everything into RPG.
Yeah.
Gamers know RPG is...
Everyone knows RPG is really our Mass Effect, but let's not get into that. No. Yeah.
It's in my wish list entitled Fuck It, because most games on the GameCube are about £40. Most of the ones that I want.
So yeah, Tales
like,
from
if I'm feeling really frisky with my money, I'm like, yeah, fuck, I'm just going to order this.
Frisky with your frisky money.
Yeah, no, up there with like Skies
of Arcadia Legends. Tickle your banknotes.
Huh? Yeah, up there with Skies of Arcadia Legends and Twilight Princess. Is that
Zelda?
Yeah.
Which they're all about £40, £50 each to get the game.
Have you ever played any Tales series, Mark?
No. I don't think so.
Well, I was going to say, like, Tales from Phone is the best one to dump into, and... Yeah, if you're a PS3 player, just pick up that game. It's incredible. Story number two. Upcoming 3DS game, Pokemon X and Y...
Hell yeah!
...will be set in a new region of the Pokemon world, designed as an alternate version of France. The location was hinted in a previous version of the game...
Every trainer runs away.
Which... hang on. The location was hinted in a previous version of the game...
Surrender option.
Which showed a city filled with wide boulevards, a structure uncannily similar to the Eiffel Tower. Wait for this. One image of the city shows a player character using their Pokemon as a mount.
So you play Pokemon down the Champs-Élysées.
Yes, and you can ride your Pokemon.
Saucy.
Yeah, everyone wants to ride you.
That's officially sold the 3DS to me completely now. I might go in town tomorrow and buy myself one then. When's this coming out?
I believe it's September or October.
Oh, what?
You think increase tourism to the Paris area?
Yes, yes. I want to go catch a Pikachu. Pikachu.
If there's any
more than
151, I just don't care.
Yeah, it's way more than that now. It's like,
yeah, they're on
500, 600 plus.
I used to be able to name them all. No, because I was when I was playing Platinum, not Black, a fucking Onyx appeared.
Yeah, you can get.
But what really pissed me off is I had it down to literally critical health, and it wouldn't get in my Pokeball.
See, when you think that you've
I don't know what you're thinking to begin with. When
you think that you've completed your Pokédex in Platinum, you can get the National Pokédex, which means you have to catch every Pokemon from all the Pokemon games prior.
Oh, what?
Or at least
fucking love Pokemon. That would annoy me. I'd think like, yes, fuck, I'm done, and then like, now I've got to do this. So it's like,
Professor Elm or whatever his bloody name is in Platinum.
He's a right bastard.
Platinum is my favourite one though, because you can get your own house.
And Platinum is Rowan or something, isn't it?
I think it's Rowan.
Yeah, Rowan's the professor.
He's the one with the weird facial hair that's like sticking out the side of his face.
And he's
what was that joke about Professor Oak? He's like, he gives sense people off with his Pokemon. It's like, oh, look after your mum.
I'm completely retelling a story that's on another podcast. Comedy Button, go download it. Where, like, you know, you go to Pokemon and then you live in a house with your mum who is either in the kitchen or in bed with you. Like, that's it.
There's
only
one bed
in the house. And then you go to the only man in the village who's the professor, and the first thing he asks you is, are you a boy or a girl? It's like, it's completely like,
what can I deal with you?
It's the most backwards thing in the world.
It's amazing.
Right. Everything's coming to Pokemon today.
It is, yeah. And it will be later. Right.
Threat. Stay away from my mum.
I'll show you my Professor Oak. Anyway, right. Story number three. EA has announced a LA-based branch of Battlefield developer DICE that will focus on creating Star Wars games. We mentioned this last week, but...
Wookiee Hunter.
Yeah, well, no. The story last week was EA has allocated Visceral Games, DICE, and BioWare to develop the new Star Wars games. But they've obviously spent a lot of time bolstering up their DICE studio. The studio is opening to continuing existing Star Wars game series, as well as developing an entirely new franchise. EA has another studio in LA, which is their Medal of Honor developer, Danger Close. Staff have been hired from Danger Close into DICE LA, and a further 60 positions need filling at DICE LA. The new range of titles will be built on DICE's Frostbite 3 engine. So, does anyone have any thoughts on DICE and Star Wars.
I have thoughts on Star Wars.
You go ahead.
Quite like it.
I really love Star Wars.
Anything that brings me you can say what you want about EA. Yeah, their publishers aren't that great to their developers, but on a selfish level, I'm just looking forward to the games. Yeah. If they can put out something that's a good quality, because
if anyone's going to develop games for Star Wars games, then you've got the amount of money that EA have to push towards these games. You can't hope for anything.
And since the Jedi Knight series, I've not really got lost in the Star Wars game. Right. I mean, you had Commando, which
Commando, I fucking loved,
but since those games, I've not really enjoyed.
He's like,
Force Unleashed just seemed.
What about Knights of the Republic?
Like, well, yeah, I love that, yeah. And I'm going to call it an RPG to piss you off, but...
That is an RPG.
Yeah, but it's not what you call an RPG, is it? You know, you got your whole...
It's more of a real RPG than Mass Effect is.
Hey, Mass Effect, you have a scroll wheel, you can choose if he says yes or no. If that's not an RPG, I don't know what is, you know?
It's a third-person shooter, we'll leave it at that.
But in all fairness, I'm looking forward to Star Wars. If EA can do something with Star Wars that they did with Mass Effect, then surely that's a good thing. Because no one can deny that Mass Effect was a flop.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we'll see another Knights of the Republic because they spent fucking loads of money on the Old Republic, and they
don't think we want something else. I think we want something like more along the Mass Effect.
It's going to be
what Mass Effect did was it brought like the sci-fi series back to like the mass audience again, and it made it appealing again. And it's exactly what they need to do with the Star Wars franchise. They need to make it appeal and make it appeal again to the mass audience, because Star Wars has lost its appeal because of the fact that they completely fucked up the last three films. Like, they basically took the first three films and went, oh, these are really good films, we'll make three new films before these, and we'll basically take a massive fucking dump on top of all
the three.
Can you be here every week? Mr. Cynic.
I'll
this week in Cynic's Corner. Fuck Mass Effect.
Sorry, I need some water.
That's just Adam and John, though. That'll be Adam.
Yeah, true.
So we can have Adam say fuck Mass Effect each week if we really want him.
Yeah, I like Mass Effect, but yeah, people rate it too highly.
I'm just going to say you're wrong.
Yeah.
Mass Effect is genius.
Mass Effect, I don't know. It was an ambitious game, but yeah. It just turned into a third-person shooter, and I'm sick to death.
I played it for like the first one for about 20 minutes, and then it was like, I don't have time to invest myself in this game. And just getting
It's a good universe.
But it brought sci-fi back to the masses again. I think it's exactly what it was designed to do. It might, by the third game, I agree, like it turned into a first person shooter pretty much. And yeah, it was nothing what the first game or the second game was. But the point is that it brought sci-fi back to the masses, which is exactly what it aimed to do in the first place. And it did its role very, very well. And it was a cracking story.
Yeah, with branching storylines.
Hmm.
Which is always a good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I really liked that option to download DLC on the day of release. That was really cool of them.
Yeah.
The chives.
Yep, that's, digital rights management, people.
But let's not get carry on.
Well, we're going to get into that now. Off I'm going to have a rant. Right.
Off of Mass Effect.
It's Adam's rant.
Yes. Anyway, story number four. Communications director John Riseberg confirmed EA is going to discontinue its online pass requirement to access certain features in its future releases. Riseberg said, and I quote, "Initially launched as an effort to package full menu of online content and services, many players didn't respond to the format. We've listened to the feedback and we decided to do away with it moving forward." Are you guys finished giggling?
Sorry, I'm just going to stop the rustling now and get my beers out of the pack, because how's this going to be like being at the cinema and when you've got that annoying person next door with the crisps?
Oh, yes. Guy's chewing.
Right, so no, I'm alright now.
Okay.
Good. Carry on.
Right, yeah, so online passes. Of course, games that already use the online pass will continue to do so. Riseberg is only talking about upcoming titles like Battlefield 4. Now, let me talk about this for a moment. The online pass has been a contention for many gamers since its introduction. EA introduced it as a test program called Project $10 in an effort to curb used game sales. This obviously caused an uproar. So I'm being Jack's being quite disruptive. Caused an uproar, and to be honest, like, I was on EA's side with this one. Used games are hurting the industry, no matter what people say about games costing too much is nonsense, and these are the facts. Number one, games are cheaper than they've ever been. Take this for example. These prices are adjusted for inflation. Metal Gear Solid retailed for $49.99.
Worth it.
Came out in 1998.
So that's what, 60?
15 years ago.
Yeah,
In today's money, that would be £76.48.
Fucking
Perfect Dark.
Is that still worth it? Would you pay that for Metal Gear Solid?
Yes.
I'd hide in the box for Metal Gear Solid.
Perfect Dark retailed for £54.99. It came out in 2000. In today's money, that would be £80.49. And lastly, Zelda: A Link to the Past came out in 1991. Cost about £60, and in today's money, that would be £115. Games cost £39.99 today. So, extrapolate.
How much is that in today's money?
How much is that?
£39.99.
How much is that in 10 years ago's money?
10 years ago's money, that would be £62.
Oh, you're good at maths, aren't you?
Yeah.
How? Surely that's gone the wrong way.
No.
It's more expensive back then and it's cheaper now.
No, because if... Yeah, no. Metal Gear Solid came out for £50. Yeah.
Yeah.
And today's money at £76. Games cost £40 today, so back then it would have been about £60.
Let's just let him do it.
Yeah, fuck it.
I can put this into an online calculator.
But we mean like as in like you're backwards, as in it costs £40 now, because back then it cost... £20-something. So now,
inflation... Yeah, so if it came out back then, it's like £26. Surely now it'd be like £39.99.
No. Games retail prices have gone down.
we're on different...
Yeah, come on. Here. No, carry on. Let's things. Get off the maths.
We your maths is sound.
Yeah.
I know it is.
We like your maths.
I've done research.
We like your maths.
Right. And next, developers get nothing from used game sales. People always bat on about how greedy EA is. I guess a lot of people can concur. And Chris Linton has... text me to say, EA are greedy, Activision are greedy. It's like, no, they're not. They're businesses. Games are expensive to make.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. He wanted a shout-out. I gave it to him.
That's not the only thing I've actually been giving him.
Games are expensive to make these days, but they're cheaper than ever. Take Tomb Raider, for example. It was a fantastic game. The game sold over 3 million copies in the US, and overall the game wasn't profitable, which, yeah, strikes you as shocking. Game studios are being shut down nearly every day.
Tomb Raider wasn't profitable.
Nope.
Fucking
yeah, and it sold 3 million copies. That's a lot for one region. It's incredible. Game studios are being shut down nearly every day because it's so difficult to strike a profit. Take this for instance. Game Development Tycoon came out recently. 97% of the people that were playing it at the time pirated it. 3% of the people paid for that game.
Did you pay for it?
I will pay for
it. And yeah, this is another reason why online passes are a good idea.
I think there's a massive like conservative rant right here, but I'm not going to bother.
Especially you say conservative, posh boy.
Yeah.
And lastly, yeah. you buy used games, no money goes to the developer, okay? What do you think that does for originality? The reason companies like Activision, Ubisoft and EA annualise their franchises is because they're profitable. And those three companies are pretty profitable. Activision is one of the most wealthy game publishers in the industry right now. And because they make good business decisions, and the online pass was one of them, these annualised franchises make a revenue stream for these publishers to be experimental with new games, like new intellectual property, so they don't have to keep relying on the old franchises. This online passing, I don't think this is the end you're going to hear of it. EA aren't going to get rid of the online pass like model completely. They're a business, they want to protect their interests. This is why I think this announcement is quite odd. And they must have something else up their sleeve. Maybe the new hardware has some sort of like DRM. That's digital rights management for people with lives.
I'm glad you said it that way.
I don't know, make no mistake, used games are going to be a thing of the past soon. The sooner people realise that, the better, to be honest.
I don't like buying used games, people are dirty.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And you want your money to go to developers so they can keep giving you the experiences you like. And if they got no money, you're going to lose all these AAA franchises that you enjoy. I mean, PC games have had to deal with this for over a decade now. They haven't had used games market for ages because you go onto Steam, you buy a game, and you get an online check as soon as you load the game up, and that's it. And I think that's fine.
Pirated in a lot of people's cases, which is the problem with PC in the first place.
It's getting more difficult, though. I mean, PC games are getting a lot more stringent than their DRM. Oh, like, yes. Game Development Tycoon. They released a pirated version of the game, and, like, Game Development Tycoon was a game you play as a game developer, and the aim of the game is to develop a game series games to make a profit. And the developers released a version of this game onto torrent sites, and the people that downloaded this game couldn't get very far because the reason why the games they were making in this game were being pirated, which is genius.
What? This just sounds like fucking Inception to me.
Apparently there's a whole lot of this, though, that a lot of games, though, that have got various bugs in, that if they know they're pirated, like purposely stop you from either completing or enjoying the game in its full content.
It should freeze, like, just before the final cutscene.
Yeah, like, there's, like, there are
just
games,
before
there
the
are
boss is about to die.
If you pirate, just... if they know that it's being pirated...
Yeah.
Like, they will freeze just for the...
Yeah, well, Battlefield 3 did that. Apparently, after a while, you played the pirated version of the game, your guns degraded, so you couldn't shoot anyone anymore.
Mm.
It's brilliant.
I love EA.
Yes.
That's smart fucking thinking.
Exactly. Mm.
Is there not a wider context to this, that actually the way people are playing games is changing, and therefore that is why these AAA developers are actually... not able to compete the same way they were? Is that actually people are more into playing like things like Journey or like indie games?
No, I mean, I think people love their AAA games. They sell like 3 million copies of a game is a lot, and that is a successful game. If they can't make a profit from that, that is down to used game sales and bad management of the company.
Possibly.
Like, Square Enix spent an exorbitant amount of money on marketing. I think they spent like £50 million on marketing, which is a stupid amount of money for a game which should have been successful.
I think like things like the internet have changed the way the ability to download games, this has all changed the marketplace compared to...
That's
why
I think digital distribution is the way forward.
Like back in the 90s when people had a SNES, you had to buy a big fucking cartridge you whacked into the top of your game console.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you download a few megabytes of data and you can play that game, whether it be on PC or whether...
Well, that's one way of combating used game sales. I mean, we're going
to... Bring back cartridges.
No, used
bring
game...
Back, yeah, bring back the stairs.
Used game sales are going to go away and digital distribution is going to be what we're going to be doing. I mean, PlayStation are testing that with their PlayStation Plus. So you pay a monthly subscription and you get a service like you do with Spotify, like you do with Netflix. You get access
to
games.
It's a fantastic
thing.
I don't like the idea of this digital stuff.
No, I love it.
Have you seen the prices that the PlayStation Store have put up?
PlayStation Plus,
fair enough. But if you
it's
horrible.
The reason why they do that is because they rely on game stores for selling their hardware. A few executives from Microsoft and Sony had meetings with GameStop directors. GameStop are the game version in America. And basically what GameStop said to Sony and Microsoft, if you stop us from promoting used games and if you sell your digital games at an undercut price, we will not stock your hardware. And that's a battle they've got to get over the moment.
Well, okay.
That's why those games are expensive on PSN.
Yeah, I look at it and I see £60 and I'm like...
Yeah, I know, it's extortionate.
It just makes me feel like, is this the future of gaming? Because if it is, then
I'd
be like, fucking getting the next console.
No, it'll...
Getting a PC and pirating everything.
No, digital games will come down as soon as, like, the retail side of things kind of, like, figured a way of getting around this issue, because it's not stable.
Yeah.
Even if a digital game costs £60, it's still cheaper than they've ever been.
Yeah.
It's better than...
Depends
how you
look
at it, isn't it? Than...
It's not cheaper than it's been for me growing up, though.
It's so much better than having to purchase it in-game, though. Like, that, I prefer
having all my games digital on a machine, because I don't have to go and change my disc.
Well,
I'm lazy.
That as well. I prefer to spend £40 or £50 on a game, and I don't have to think to myself, like, if I would complete this game properly, or if I want to have the most fun in this game, I have to spend another 12 or... 50,
oh, you're talking about
pounds.
DLC, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like, screw that. I want to be able to go to it. I want to be able to, even if it's online or in a store, I want to be able to go and spend £50 in a game and go, that's the complete package.
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck around going, oh, I've spent £20 a game, what a bargain, and then go, oh no, I should go spend another 20 fucking quid.
I don't
to actually complete this game with, like, the, you know, to get every fucking level. Like,
sparkly armor.
Yeah, I don't want sparkly armor.
And a special sword.
I don't want sparkly armor. I want normal fucking armor, and I want to complete the game in what it's meant to be. Yeah,
mm. I tend to wait for the ultimate editions or the game of the year edition to come.
I don't mind DLC. DLC extends.
Yeah, exactly. And this is pointless, really, because it creates, like, you'd much prefer the game to come out in its complete variety to begin with, and I'd much prefer to spend £50 or £60 a game and give the developer what they deserve to be paid for developing that game. Yeah. Rather than going, okay, there's 4, 5, 6 different versions of the game, or if you really want the complete version with the sparkly armor, you've got to spend another, you know, 15 quid when you buy the game, like, on some stupid download in order to get the sparkly armor, which unlocks this level.
Yeah, well, the reason why they do DLC is to make sure people keep hold of their discs. So you don't trade them in.
Yeah, this is
fine. And that comes back to the original point. I don't mind DLC. It's the DLC annoys me is day one DLC. It's like, the data is already on disk. You own it. Well, you don't own it. You're paying access to that. But then you've got to pay another license fee to get access to the extra data that's already on your disk. That's...
Basically, you've got to...
That's pre-order incentives.
You buy a game, and then within day one, you've got to spend another, like, 20 quid on, like, actually unlocking what is...
Already
the rest, what is already available on that disc that you just spent 40 or 50 quid on anyway, and it's like, that's a joke.
That's my problem with Xbox Live.
What?
Having to pay for it.
Yeah, and you get nothing back from it, yeah. That's why I switched.
Yeah, that's why PlayStation Plus is so, or PlayStation is just better. You can buy a game, you can buy the console straight out, you can get straight on, like, say, like, you do like playing kind of, you know, the massively fucking, you know, like, say you like
the most
recent
Call of
Duty, like Battlefield, you know, shooter maps, but you like playing it online. You buy an Xbox, you then have to go, oh, fuck, I've got to spend this much to play online.
Mm-hmm.
And like with PlayStation,
and you get no return from that. Obviously, the Xbox Live service is very good. You've got dedicated servers. The connection is a lot better.
It is a lot better.
I don't know. Microsoft have invested loads of money in their online infrastructure, but PlayStation are getting there with PlayStation Plus. You don't know what form that's going to take with the PS4. What I think will happen is you're not going to get free games with the PlayStation 4 PlayStation Plus, because they're not going to give free, like, brand new PS4 games.
It'll be very interesting what happens next Tuesday.
What I think will happen with PS4 PS Plus is you'll get access to their Gaikai system, so you get access to the entire PS2 PS1 back catalogue.
Oh, that'd be
things
so
like that. Yeah, that would be amazing.
And when they came out, when the PS4 came out with their announcement,
I recognise exactly what happened.
Yeah, and Sony, when Sony came out with their announcement, the Gaikai thing was very integral to what they were doing. And Gaikai is their answer to backwards compatibility, but also Gaikai allows you to go onto the store and play any game you want for, like, a certain amount of time. So it does
great
demos.
And I think that's exactly where Xbox will fall down. Like, you know, we'll see what happens on Tuesday, but, like, I reckon that this is where Xbox will fall down, because they don't have that catalogue of games to fall back on, like, the PS.
Halo 1, 2, 3, 4.
You can play all the Halos! That is it.
Microsoft are a smart company. I'm not going to count them, but they've got...
They'll sue us.
I've got some sort of sense. They've got something planned, and it's going to shock us, and, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to count them out just yet.
New Halo game. Yeah.
It's not going to be a new Halo game. It's
It's going to be Gears of War, yeah.
Yeah, no.
It will
Microsoft
be a
have a lot of money.
No, it'll be Destiny. Surely it'll be Destiny.
No, Destiny's a multi-format game.
No, well,
but
it'll still come out in the new one.
Can I just ask, was it difficult for you to get rid of your Halo games when you got rid of your Xbox?
No, I've kind of gone off Halo now.
That's because you're an idiot and he doesn't understand how fucking awesome Halo is.
Yeah, it was really good for number one and two.
Yeah, Halo 1 was wicked.
Yeah. Right.
How much wine have you guys drunk?
More than
2 bottles nearly.
2 bottles? Yeah. You're doing well.
Okay, right. News item number 5. Sorry, that was a big discussion piece there. In an announcement that came to a surprise to absolutely no one, Gran Turismo 6 has been announced.
Oh, right.
Oh, is this the news that was supposed to be last week's news that you completely forgot?
No. It was announced on Tuesday. It's targeting a holiday 2013 release. It'll be released, but the interesting thing
that
is...
That will not happen. We know what Gran Turismo 5's release date was like.
I know.
So in 3 years' time, we'll get Gran Turismo 6, is what you mean to say.
I don't know. I think it's going to happen on time this time. But the interesting thing is, it's a PS3 title, not a PS4 title. It will feature 1,200 cars and 70 tracks.
I didn't even realise how many cars existed.
Yeah, I know. So now sit back and listen to the world's loudest shrug.
I look forward to the bit week.
The sound of millions of eyes rallying.
I don't know, but in all seriousness, like, so GT is Sony's biggest seller, Gran Turismo 5 sold 10 million copies.
Which is incredible, considering it's a really fucking shit racing game.
But the thing is, yeah. It's like Adam said, it's their highest grossing exclusive title that they've ever owned.
And put this in perspective, like Uncharted 3 was their next like biggest seller. That sold 1.3 million.
You compare the physics to GT compared to Forza. Like Forza, literally kicks the fucking.
It just sells those. Like GT has got such pedigree.
Just because it's got so many cars. Like people go, oh, it's GT. It's got pedigree. Like you know, it's got shitloads of cars, shitloads of tracks, etc., etc. But what they fail to realise is the fact that the physics in it just. Is nowhere near good enough. It's not a decent racing
game. Well, GT5 was not very impressive.
Nothing has compared since Crash Team Racing. Seriously, I love like
no, it's fucking Mario Kart.
I was going to say Mario Kart. Nothing compares since
Mario Kart ruins friendship.
I'm sorry, Nintendo kids. I was a PlayStation boy.
Do you know what? I've never had more arguments ever over a game compared to Mario Kart Double Dash.
Yeah.
You know where you had the two characters on the car and.
That was an interesting game.
Can we play the Mario Kart drinking game soon?
So what?
The Mario Kart drinking game. Do you know about this?
No.
Yeah, I know about this.
You start. So say like there's five of us in here. There isn't there. Five of us. So yeah, there's five. So there's five of you racing. You're all playing. The race starts. You've got. So you'll all obviously choose your character, and you've also got to have a drink. So ideally, like a can of beer, and by the end. The goal is to basically finish the race first and have no drink left. So you have to get to the end and finish your drink. And so you've got two options when you set off. You either down your drink as quick as you can and race through it, or you start and try and get as far ahead as you can and then drink. But to drink, if you're driving, you have to pull over to the side of the track. Drink.
That is amazing.
You have to drink. And then pull back out, race a bit more, pull over again.
Pull back out, yeah.
Yeah.
What about things like...
makes it last a bit longer.
Yeah, drink driving's bad. Penalties. Don't drink drive.
You can have power up.
Just missed the entire point, man.
thank you for the advice, Bad Santa.
Hey, can I just say, this week I finished community service, so I'm ridiculous.
Josh is a criminal.
Yes, Josh is a criminal.
He's a dangerous man.
Ladies. Who am I?
His telephone number is 07.
Yeah.
Let's not give out my number on a podcast. It's on iTunes.
Right, news item number 6. EA has confirmed that it has no games in development for the Wii U.
I heard about this today.
In a statement to Kotaku,
they said the Wii U is shit.
Yeah. This is most likely a reinforcement of the fact that their Frostbite 3 engine doesn't work on the Wii U. Bad times. I don't know. Nintendo's always been carried by its exclusives, but I think
I'm really selfishly hoping they go the way of Sega and I can have some Mario on Mario Kart on the PlayStation.
Nintendo
are far too selfish to start making games for other companies. if their ship goes down, they're going down completely.
I'd rather Sega have their own console again. Nintendo went out, and I could play Mario Kart on the PlayStation.
Yeah, we said that last week. Sport. We'd like to think that Sega are right now just like locked away developing this console and not telling anyone, not letting anything out.
The Wii U's in a precarious situation right now. That thing is not selling at all.
I
still kind of want one.
About an hour ago, another news story broke about an hour ago, but yeah, a little bit before we started recording.
Holy fuck.
I know, breaking news. Fucking
breaking news.
This just in.
Yes. EA's Bob Somerville, he's a senior software...
good then.
A senior software engineer at EA, he put out a stream of tweets. I'll read them out for you, right. The first one, the Wii U is crap. Less powerful than the 360, poor online store, weird tablet, Nintendo are walking dead at this point.
Yay.
Followed by another tweet, Nintendo are still operating like it's 1990. They should have done a Sega and offered Mario and Zelda as PS4 and Durango exclusives. Again, instead, they make this awful console. Just stop it. They just make great games. Followed by another tweet, it is an utterly... intentional decision to focus on our resources on markets that which actually matter.
Wow.
One more, Nintendo platforms have always been very poor revenue wise for third parties. Only Mario and Zelda make money.
Don't you hate
for someone in EA to go out on like a big public senior director in EA putting out all these tweets is a massive indictment to Nintendo.
Don't you hate when these business people are so careful with their words and
I know, totally tactful. Like the last person someone went out on Twitter and been this outward was Adam Orth. He was going on about just deal with it with online stuff.
Do you think
they
have a communications team like from the city council?
No.
Because seriously, that shit would have never got through.
I hope he's right, because if Nintendo, it's these Liverpool things. Like I said, like Mario Kart on your PlayStation or the Xbox 360. Like, I don't have a 360, but something as fun as Mario Kart with live and your headsets and all that kind of interplay. Fuck that. Not just that. Everyone loves Pokemon games. We all grew up playing them. Imagine that on your Vita.
Yes.
It would be so,
on
like
that beautiful screen.
Exactly. It's all these things of there's so many great characters and things owned by Nintendo.
You would have a full license.
Josh disagrees.
3D,
why
like,
do you disagree, Josh?
Super Smash Bros. For fuck's sake. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I still think Nintendo missing out on a massive thing on not bringing it out to iOS and Android.
They should have fucking developed a console that's not last gen.
Yep.
For instance.
You can't say anything about Nintendo. You've got a 3DS set right in front of us.
I do. Which I sold my 364.
Exactly. So you can't say anything bad.
Handheld, they're fine, but
yeah, the handheld, like the handheld thing's like, doing well. The 3DS is selling really well.
Home-based consoles are lacking.
Yeah, if you put it in your hand, it's alright. But as soon as you put it right in your face, it's just too much.
As soon as you put it in your living room and starts talking about the old
innuendo,
days, it's like an old man sat in your living room talking about how great the games were back in the old days. And you're just like, I just want to play something else.
Don't bring Pokemon to Vita.
It won't happen.
That's good. The graininess of it on like, you know, like playing on my fucking Game Boy Color, seeing the graininess of
it.
Yeah,
well, that's an old game
though,
isn't it?
Beautiful. I'd much
rather
see it.
Finally, the last news story. In probably one of the biggest dick moves by a game publisher, Ubisoft has fired Patrice Désilets. Right. Patrice created the original Assassin's Creed. He left Ubisoft soon after and went to work for THQ.
Is he French?
He is, yeah.
Is this the guy that got fired and then...
Yeah.
I watched up at noon this week.
Yeah. Right, so yeah, he went to work for THQ where he started developing a game called 1666, which sounded like an Assassin's Creed competitor, like a historical action game. THQ went under last year and all their assets were sold off. Ubisoft obviously saw this as a chance to purchase a potential competitor to their Assassin's Creed series. So basically what they've done is bought the rights to 1666 and the team, including Patrice, who was the lead director who worked on the original Assassin's Creed. So he bought him back. And then he fired him. And then they've put the game on hold, inverted commas. So basically, because if they cancelled it, the rights would remain with Patrice. So basically, they've bought the game because it was a competitor to the Assassin's Creed series, got rid of the person who made it, and put the game on hold and retained the rights, so we're never going to see
it's
that
It's like
game.
Getting back with an ex and dumping them out of
exactly.
Spite. Like,
yeah. Maybe I don't need you.
It's ridiculous. That's an incredible news story. It's good, tactful business play, because they paid £2 million for the rights to 1666 and the developer, and if that game had came out, they could have lost tens of millions of pounds on a rival product, but they bought the company, got rid of the person who made it, and yeah, it's incredible.
And put people out of jobs.
Yeah.
Alan Sugar would be impressed.
Yes.
Yeah, the man who fires people who don't technically have a job.
Yes. Yeah. You're fired from this audition show.
You never hired me, so.
Yes.
Has anyone been watching the latest series of The Apprentice?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
No.
There's
aren't
a whole...
they the biggest bunch of fucking.
They are. They're like.
Ever.
They're...
Oh, yeah, the C bomb is here.
That's what it had to happen eventually.
Cunt.
It's a good thing we're listed as explicit on iTunes. Rate us and subscribe.
And then call us cunts.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing. But there is no other word to describe that set of people that decided to audition.
Have you seen
the Napoleon of business?
Oh, yeah.
Literally, they'd be just being fed like the book of cliche bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, to
and the book of weird eyebrows.
What I love was in the very first episode, Alan Sugar turned around and said, I'm bored of the cliches. I want to see actions before words. That's like, wow. Well, you know, you pretty much summed it up there, haven't you?
Good job, Sir James.
My intelligence is like a machete through the jungle, just one swing and we're through.
That was it. That was
yeah, cool. That's the guy with the monobrow who doesn't seem to do anything.
Oh, he talks
like...
very well.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the word of the day for today? We're going to
and they all just
words.
Like shout him down and like, take the piss out of him.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
It's him and fucking Spock as well.
Spock.
What's his face? You know, Spock, the guy, he literally has to Spock.
Oh, sorry, you've created an entire conversation with the Apprentice.
And nothing about what you were talking about.
Yeah. Well, a conversational podcast and everything. So yeah, that's the end of the news.
In other news, Patrice has been rehired.
Yes.
But he's gone.
Okay.
He's obviously desperate for a job right now.
Yeah. He'll be fine. Okay, right now that the news is over, unfortunately we do have two wrestling fans on this podcast. So we're going
to
go.
It's not going to be much to talk about, to be honest.
We're going to be a bit shit this week. We're going to go over to an aptly named section, Jack and Josh's sweaty grapple corner.
Can I just preemptively say there is nothing wrong with watching grown men in their underwear oiled up grappling each other? It's totally cool.
Keep selling yourself.
Totally manly.
fully aware it's scripted, but it is an adult. It's a man's soap opera.
Yeah, yeah. It's a soap opera where they hit each other with chairs.
It was good enough. If it was good enough for the Romans, then it's good enough for modern
Roman
day.
Greco motherfucking wrestling.
Did the Romans have their own theme music?
But yeah. I don't think there's much to say this week. I've only watched Raw, didn't really catch TNA or SmackDown. I read the spoilers for them, didn't really think much of it. So
Raw was alright, SmackDown was alright, nothing special. Extreme Rules should be quite entertaining.
Yeah, but I'm just glad this is a blowout for the Lesnar Triple H feud, because, let's be honest, it's been done. They don't have great chemistry, I don't think.
They've only done that because they didn't think that Dolph Ziggler could draw... Dolph Ziggler or Ryback could draw like a pay-per-view crowd, because that's technically two big matches. Dolph's not even in it because he got a concussion.
It's not even just that. It's the fact that Punk's gone down. Rock's, well, he had a pretty bad injury at Mania, so it's not even guaranteed he'll ever. Let's not get into
that. Same day he was tweeting about it, he was also at his premiere.
Yeah, exactly. Looking absolutely fine. So you know, let's just say it's in a bit of a state at the moment. He's, you know, it's how it is. As long as Jericho's around, I'm around. But I don't really care too much for what I've seen the past few weeks. I think his music is far more over than he is. As soon as the music stops, people don't seem to care. It's just the music people are into at the moment. Great guy. On the independent scene,
great
he's awesome.
Great character, Johnny Cage is fantastic.
Yeah, on the independent scene, he kicks ass. And, you know, when he gets the chance to show that a bit more, but... I think Extreme Rules could be quite entertaining. He needs to drop the Fandango shtick in a few years.
This guy? Are you talking about the guy that my friend told me about that says things like, feed me more?
No, that's Ryback.
Yeah, that's my friend was like, yeah, this is a wrestler that just says he's always hungry and he says, feed me more all the time.
It's a metaphor for wanting to be fed more men. Yeah, he likes to take on multiple ones at a time.
Oh, I see.
He is a fucking beast, though.
Yeah, he's like...
He's massive. He's the Goldberg.
He's Goldberg
on Monday night.
Attire.
On Monday when Ryback was out, could you hear the Goldberg chants?
Oh, they happen all the time. But I can see Adam hates this conversation, so... Yeah.
So that's it for Sweaty Grapple Corner tonight.
It's done for now.
Back to conversational funnies about The Apprentice. And
conversational funnies.
And how Nintendo is shit. And
yeah, and hearing Adam talk about things that I just don't understand, and I hope some listeners do, because I've got no fucking clue what you're talking about.
Just blag it, make a joke. Just make a joke and everything's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Willies.
Okay. Yes, just trying to be informative.
It is interesting. I guess that's a good thing. You're teaching me.
Teaching you, yes. That's what I'm doing. Just trying to get rid of those old general conceptions about fucking companies being evil. It just does my head in.
Yeah, like Chris. EA. Like everything you said against the EA.
Yeah. Right. Okay, right. We're going to go on to the quiz section now. Last week we did a 10 years ago section. We've got two reviews. They're both 15 years ago. It's 1998. But before that, we've got some game soundtracks where the panel's going to guess what the game is.
Yeah.
Through what's being played. Okay. Right, so we're going to go on to the first one first. So, is everyone ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, right, the first one is this.
Is this four games, yeah?
This game came out in 2008, scored an 8.2 on IGN.com.
This is Command & Conquer Red Alert 2?
3!
3.
Yeah.
We'll
just let this play out a sec because this is an iconic.
Yeah.
I quite like it.
Yeah! Commander Conquer!
Okay, right, we've gone to the next one now. This game came out in 1998. It scored a 9.3 on IGN.com.
Ooh,
okay, you ready?
I think I know. Oh, okay, then maybe not.
Just reminded me of The Undertaker.
Gun!
No clue. Resident Evil, is it?
Yes.
Ah,
which one?
One,
1998, yeah. Resident Evil 2, well done, Jack.
I knew if I carried on doing numbers, I'd get it eventually.
Right, okay, and this is the final soundtrack. Are you ready?
Do we hear a number? Is year? Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, this game came out in 2003, scored an 8.9 on IGN.com. You ready?
Can we just play this song for the rest of time, please?
No.
Yeah! I should know this because I really like this song.
2003, he said.
Yeah.
So it like Grand Theft Auto again.
Come on.
No idea.
Fast and Furious 6 has come out this week.
Need for Speed.
Yeah, which one?
One, two, three.
Undercover.
Four. Underground.
Underground. Close enough.
Was it one of those numbers?
Yes, I got one. Like, I got one last week.
Yeah. Okay, right, that's the end of the music section, so you can take out your headphones.
Aww.
Right, okay, right, reviews 15 years ago. Okay, right, this game scored an 8.9 on GameSpot.com, scored a 9.8 on IGN. Big score discrepancy. Okay, right, games. I've got two sections of the reviews from both sites because they vary quite a lot. So GameSpot said, 5 years from now, when we look back upon this game, what will we see? The game definitely is revolutionary in many ways. It breaks new ground in gameplay and truly brings the video game one step closer to the realm of movies. It is without a doubt a landmark game, but extreme case with it can be mastered and the game's insultingly short length keep it from perfection. IGN said, I must warn, however, the first time players absolutely must go through the training stages before heading into the game itself. Failure to do so will put you at an extreme disadvantage, as this definitely isn't merely a run-around, guns-blazing action game. Once the concept and controls set in, you're in for the single greatest gameplay experience possible on the PlayStation.
What year was this?
1998.
I wish I listened to the beginning, because like, I tuned out for the first bit of what you were talking.
Do you want me to reread the GameSpot?
Yeah, please.
Okay, right, try again. 5 years from now, when we look upon this game, what will we see? The game definitely is revolutionary in many ways. It breaks new ground in gameplay and truly brings the video game one step closer to the realm of movies. It is without a doubt a landmark game, but the extreme case with which it can be mastered and the game's insultingly short length keep it from perfection.
I want to see, like, time crisis for some reason, nope. But I know yeah. I'm fully wrong.
Tomorrow never dies.
Nope.
I want to say Metal Gear Solid.
It is Metal Gear Solid, well done.
Why the fuck would I know what?
It was like,
oh, no. Jack.
It's because
oh,
it was far too obvious. It was like far too
exactly.
obvious for us
it's
to be like, nah,
like,
nah, it couldn't
yeah, 1998.
Yeah,
I know, I.
Metal Gear Solid came out 15 years ago. Don't you all feel old out
still good,
there,
and the beginning of the freaking game is still solid.
It is. You got no weapons.
Getting on that
yeah.
fucking elevator.
Exactly.
God damn it.
That was the day that childhood ended.
Yeah.
The manhood began, wasn't it? The day you played Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, which is really weird because, you know, still had a high as fuck voice, but I wanted to get a job still, you know. I'm
yeah.
No,
yeah, Jack fancies just... himself as a David Hayter wannabe.
I could do like three words.
Do it. Then.
Do it.
Colonel. That's one of them.
Good.
Otacon.
Good.
Meryl! And that's about as far
nice.
As it goes.
Metal Gear.
Okay, right. Metal lastly, Gear. This is the last review. This game scored 8.8 on GameSpot.com and 10 out of 10 on IGN.com.
What year did you say?
This 98, this is 15 years ago.
Okay.
Under its cuddly exterior, the game is a serious and unique RPG with lots of depth and excellent multiplayer extensions. As an RPG, the game is accessible enough for newcomers of the genre to enjoy, but it will entertain hardcore fans as well. It is easily one of the best Game Boy games to date.
Pokemons?
Yeah, Pokemon Red.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
Pokemons.
Pokemons. Yes.
I
wanna be.
I guess the mode player is the link up all that.
No one
hey?
Ever was.
You're talking about like the link up battles.
Yes, yeah, the most, yeah. That's the
that threw me off at first. I was like, hang on, I used to get my ass kicked on there as well, so.
Yeah.
Pokemon,
okay.
Gotta catch them all.
Has anyone got anything else they want to talk about? Or do you
we need to talk about Pokemon more.
If you want to talk about Pokemon,
what was your favourite Pokemon? Was it Snorlax?
No.
Was it Ditto?
It was.
Mine was Jinx.
Was it Jigglypuff? I bet yours was Jigglypuff.
Of course it was.
Which was the one with the muscles?
Macho.
Hitmonchan was the rock with.
Hitmonchan, he was the.
Oh, yeah, Hitmonchan.
Yeah, I liked him.
Charizard all the way.
I like Jinx.
Charizard was a dick.
Charizard was a dick.
If you ever watched awesome. The cartoon, yes. Which if you haven't, you should, he was a dick. Every time he came out, he would just do fuck all, just sit there and go,
no. It's just too strong. The whole point of Charizard not listening to Ash is because Ash didn't have enough badges at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
And it's like,
badges,
it's the whole
bitch.
Follow the whole story. If you don't have enough badges and your Pokemon are too level, they'll become incoherent and they won't listen to you.
I never thought.
You know what? I never understood.
Because he evolved a lot quicker. Like, Charmander
yeah,
forced
yeah,
himself
yeah.
to evolve. And then become Charmeleon, which was an arrogant dick. And then became Charizard, which is a massive dick. But then later learned to respect him because he had more badges and he was more of a seasoned Pokemon master. The more you know.
Yeah.
On a tangent. why was Jinx? Remember Jinx?
Jinx
was
oh,
a bit of a slut, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one that looks like Nicki Minaj?
Oh.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, not far off,
very
actually.
Much
yeah.
Like Nicki Minaj.
What the fuck is with that? It's like, hey kids, look at all these cool little creatures. Hey, look
yeah.
at these tits.
She was like, she was black originally, and then they had to change her colour to blue because of like racial.
Yeah.
So she just looked like she got beaten instead.
Mm. Yeah, she looked like if Nicki Minaj was an opera singer.
I'd had. Well, no, that even the Jinx was too talented.
I don't think auto-tune goes into the world of opera.
No.
I don't think we've got much else to say.
No,
we?
I think.
Okay, it's time to wrap up then.
Wow, only an hour as well. There's
yeah.
more. There's a lot more. Well, there's two more people.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We drain the energy out of the room though, so you know
yeah.
that's how we roll.
Yeah. Well.
Too much Pokemon. Like, on a Pokemon, come down.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up then?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Please, rate us on iTunes, subscribe. We can all be found on Twitter. I'm at Adam Safu. Josh is at Josh LeMarquand. Mark is at Carrot. That's with a K, three R's and two T's. Jack is at Jack Stephen Pope.
With a P here, I'll have you know.
Ben can be found at shu_ben, which is SCH underscore Ben. Thank you,
Ben.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Josh.
Ben.
Thank you, Mark. Mm. I'm Adam. This is Trainwreck Gaming, and we're out.
Bye-bye.
I'd be lying next to anyone, but I'm still thinking of you.